thank you for joining FAC this weekend. I'm excited to be together today. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Brianna, and I'm the Share Ministries pastor. A simple explanation of my role here is that my job is to help mobilize our church to be on mission wherever God calls us. Now, before we begin this weekend, I just want to pray real quick and ask God to continue to move as he's been doing already. So, Jesus, I pray that you continue to open our hearts and our minds to hear from the Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you give me boldness to speak your word. I pray that I get out of the way so that the only thing that people see is you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, this weekend is an international weekend, and an international weekend is a weekend that we as a church focus on the mission that God is calling each one of us to share the gospel with all nations. Now, over the past few years, we've seen our church grow to pray for the nations, to give financially to missions, and I've seen people answer the call to go and serve with their lives. Now, you may be thinking that this is an odd time for us to reach the nations, when we have no idea when we'll be able to travel again, to go on a short-term trip, or to see international workers commit to full-time ministry overseas. Certainly, COVID-19 has seemed to be a time that has paused our sending into the global world. But I am convinced that this weekend is as urgent and timely as ever, because God is still moving and he's still asking us to join him. I want to encourage us today to press on, because God has a task for us and it is still unfinished. Now, if you're anything like me, when you have an unfinished task, it begins to disrupt your life. Maybe it's a project at work or at home. Maybe you need to renew that passport or your driver's license, and you just cannot seem to check that item off your list. It randomly begins to pop in your mind. It starts nagging you during work meetings, or maybe when your spouse is talking to you. You become distracted, and there's this constant nagging until it is done. But why does this seem to happen to us? I believe it's because we are all wired with a deep desire to accomplish the task that we've set out to do. So why is it that as believers in Jesus Christ, we all have an unfinished task to accomplish, yet it doesn't seem to disrupt our daily lives? Have we decided that the task of Jesus is not our task? So we can justify our inaction by leaving it to the professionals, the pastors, or the international workers? Do we claim that we don't know this task? Or have we forgotten what Jesus told us to do? Whatever our reasoning, I want us to leave here today knowing that when we decide to follow Jesus, the task of Jesus becomes our task. Let me paraphrase this task that has been given to us by Jesus. In Matthew, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. In Mark, it says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all nations. In Luke, it says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name, and you are my witnesses. In John 20:21, it says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Basically, our command here is to be Jesus in the world. And then in Acts 1:8, we see that it says, you are my witnesses, here, there, and everywhere. Today, I want us to look at the story of two ordinary men, Peter and John, who claimed the task of Jesus as their own and relentlessly pursued the call to be Jesus in the world. I believe that by examining their commitment to be a bold witness wherever God places us, we will be encouraged to live our lives as though we have a task that is yet to be finished. So let's set the scene. Jesus left the disciples with the command to be witnesses in the broken world, and they take it seriously. They begin to share about Jesus, the Son of God, who defeated the grave and offers forgiveness for sins and a restored relationship with God. For all who call on his name, people are coming to faith, lives are being transformed, sick are being healed, and amazing things are happening. But it's not all rainbows and butterflies, and as can be expected, as thousands of people are being radically changed by the gospel, the religious leaders of the day are getting upset. Because they thought that once Jesus was killed, their troubles would all be over. But now a man who is crippled has been healed, not by Jesus, but in the name of Jesus, by two of his disciples, Peter and John. The religious leaders do not know what to do, so they arrest them. They throw them in jail. And now these are not just any leaders either. The scripture says that it's Annas and Caiaphas, the same group of people who were part of sentencing, crucifying, and killing Jesus. The same group of people, can you imagine? The same people who killed Jesus are threatening these men and trying to intimidate them. Some say this was only a few months after the resurrection of Jesus. So I think they remember. I think they knew they were being serious. Most people would have listened. Most people would have kept quiet. So how did Peter and John respond? I want us to read from Acts chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, you can open it with me, or you can look on the FAC Experience app and read along. It says, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.' After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They did not stop sharing the gospel, and Peter and John continue to obey the command to be witnesses, even though they are being threatened. There are four things that I notice in this passage that I believe could help us stay focused and on mission. Without them, we may not be here today, so I believe that we have a lot to learn from them. First, we see that Peter and John were partners. They were close friends who have the same spiritual goals. Peter and John had each other. They relied on each other through the good and the bad. The good, a beggar is healed. The bad, they're thrown into jail together. When everything was against them, they could encourage each other. There was teamwork, and they didn't try to do it alone. We need somebody in our lives to pray with us, to share with us, and to work with us. An example in my own life is that I would make commitments year over year at camp or a conference to go home to my everyday life and be a better witness. But I would go home and have no one to keep me accountable, and I would begin to believe that my own reputation meant more than representing Jesus. So I would fail. But something drastically changed in my life when I went to a missional leadership conference called the Envision Summit. And I went with another person from FAC, Tiffany Ho. Yes, she's who's hosting our weekend services. But we went there, and I began to share with her what God was calling me to, how he was working in my life, and she was one of the first people that I told that God was calling me to mobilize FAC. And do you know what she did? She encouraged me. She held me accountable, and she kept me to my word that I would go and be on mission for Jesus wherever God called me. When I would face opposition, she would encourage me and support me, and she prays for me. My life and ministry has drastically changed because of her. Now, sometimes I think that we wonder why we cannot overcome the temptation to be silent, but I believe this is because we don't have strong ministry partners. We don't have a teammate. You know, we all need each other. We may have Christian friends, but we may be hesitant to hold one another accountable, to be a witness, and to be on mission for Jesus. The next thing that I see in this passage is that we need people, or we need a community. The text says that after being threatened, Peter and John went back to their people to report. This is their Christian family, their support group. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "We are like a body. We all need each other, not just a partner. We need a community." Let me say that again. We all need each other, not just a partner. We need a community. Our church should be a place to spur one another on to love and good deeds, a place to be encouraged, to focus on our mission, to be a witness. We need to be a place of unity. And this is so critical because unity is our best witness. Jesus prayed this prayer for us, FAC. In John 17, 20 and 21, it says that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus says that when we are seeking after the heart of God, obeying him, and living in unity with our brothers and sisters, the world will know who we are sent by. Have you ever stopped to marvel at the beauty of this statement? People could be stopped in their track and wonder, how is God on the move? If someone walked into our church and saw North and South Sudanese, Congolese and Rwandan, Yemeni and Saudis, blacks and whites, First Nations and Caucasians, loving each other, respecting each other, and seeing lives transformed in reconciliation, the world may know who we are sent by. People would stop and wonder, why are they different? This would stand out in our broken world. We need to be people of love and unity, and then the world will know we are different. The next thing that we see is that we need to pray. This church prayed together. In Colossians 4, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Their prayer included praise. They cried out to God in praise despite their persecution and their threats. Praising God helped unite them. It removed their fear. It enabled them to regain their focus and perspective. And even when they faced pressure, they praised God for who he is and what he's done. Then we see that after they praise God, they present their request. And what do they ask for? Not safety, not removing the enemy, not God, please take away this situation. No, they ask for boldness. They ask for courage from God to speak his word boldly. Their concern was for God's word to go out and Christ's name to be glorified. Not for themselves, not for their personal gain or for their safety. Then we see that they pray, stretch out your hand. They are asking God to continue to do what he's been doing, the opposite of what the leaders in the world were commanding them to do. We can see that prayer keeps us focused on Jesus and our perspectives properly aligned with his. The last thing I see in this passage is that we need power. Peter and John ask and they receive power. The scripture says that all were filled with the Holy Spirit, not just Peter and John, but all who were present. We see that they receive power after they are humble before God. This is key to being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to have an attitude of humility. They empty themselves and they completely commit to the task and the life that Jesus is calling them to. We read in Galatians 2:20 that it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We need to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit so that when people encounter us, all they see is Jesus. The passage here in Acts 4 teaches us that in order to be faithful, effective witnesses who continue the work of Jesus in the broken world, we need partners, we need people, we need prayer, and we need power. But what's the point? Why do we need all this? What was the result of the filling of the Holy Spirit that we read about here in Acts 4? It says that they spoke the word of God boldly without being intimidated, and the gospel spread throughout the whole world. People from every tribe, every tongue, every nation were being saved, healed, transformed, and restored. Followers of Jesus began to share their possessions so that there was no one in need among them. Scripture says that the believers were of one heart and of one mind. What a beautiful picture. Can you imagine how they stood out in that broken world? Today in Canada and in Calgary, no one is throwing us in jail for talking about Jesus or commanding us to stop saying his name. But there is a real pressure to be tolerant of the views of others and not to offend anyone. As a result, we have decided that we cannot be bothered to look for support from others. And we strive to be independent and successful. We give in to the temptation to be silent about what we have seen and heard. Church has become optional and we fit it in a few times a month if we can. We believe a lie that the gathering is just for our personal benefit and growth anyways. So we keep our experience of God hidden, a private experience not to be shared. But that doesn't make much sense, does it? If this is a private experience, why would we need the Holy Spirit to make us into a bold witness? If it were that easy, would we really need accountability and prayer and power? Acts 1:8 says that when we receive power, we will be witnesses. So we know that when the Spirit comes, this is not a private experience. We will not be able to contain it. We will share this gift with everyone. Can you remember a special gift that you've received? Maybe it was something recent, like a birth of a child, or maybe it was something when you were younger. I'm sure when you received that gift, you couldn't keep the news to yourself. I'm not sure what that gift is for you, but for me, it was an American Girl doll named Samantha. And I received her on Christmas morning, and I was so ecstatic to receive her. I wanted to take pictures of me and the doll so I could prove to my friends after school, after the break, that I had received this gift. And so I did just that. When I got back from break, I told my friends. I showed them the pictures. I invited them to come see. I actually didn't even care if the people were my friends. I just wanted them to know about this gift. The joy that this gift brought me was so overwhelming, yet it was just a temporary gift. And looking back now, it's made no real impact on my life. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's in a dusty box in my parents' basement, I think. But the Bible talks about a different kind of gift, an everlasting gift. In Romans 6:23, it says, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gospel message is a gift, which means it's meant to be shared. We have received an everlasting gift from God through Jesus Christ, salvation, restoration of our broken relationship with God. It takes our sins and wipes them clean. It will bring healing and wholeness and hope. And unlike my gift as a child, this gift is for everyone. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we should be telling everyone we encounter of this news in the same way that I shared about that childhood doll. If we truly believe in the uniqueness of Christ, meaning he is the only way for people to be saved from their sin and darkness, there should be a sense of urgency for those of us who know Jesus Christ to share him with others. Now here in Calgary, there is still a task to be accomplished. Hundreds of new immigrants come to the city each year, having lost their loved ones, their families, their status. Many of these people are coming from unreached people groups, meaning there is little to no access to the gospel in their home countries. They could walk for miles on end, going door to door, asking if anybody's ever heard the name of Jesus, and they would find no one. There's reconciliation work to be done amongst indigenous people groups. Racism is still in our midst. Poverty runs rampant. Domestic violence still brings its blunt force to so many families. Single moms have nowhere to live. Widows face each day robbed of their joy. And sickness destroys the homes of so many. If you were to drive 5 kilometers from this building, you would see men and women living on the streets with nowhere to turn. And addiction still holds thousands in its death grip. Has anyone's face come to your mind? Because these are our neighbors. And in our world, young girls are still trafficked and solicited each day. Slavery is more prevalent today than when it was legal. Religious and tribal wars claim the lives of thousands, and in Yemen, one of the greatest humanitarian crises of our day is taking place with little media coverage. The explosions in Beirut, the aftermath still lingers on, even though our attention has been taken by the next TikTok video, Hollywood scandal, or political debate. It does not take us long to feel helpless, depressed, and overwhelmed by the world situation. But Jesus is asking us not to turn away. He's asking us to look these faceless statistics right in the eye and lay down our lives for them. To step into the mess with boldness and courage to make these people known and loved. We have hope in Jesus and the power through the Holy Spirit that can transform the world just like we saw in Acts. In fact, Scripture tells us in the book of John, "Truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." Jesus is calling us to do greater things, to be the church that welcomes the new immigrant and the refugee with open arms, to embrace the widow and the orphan, and to not only be acceptant of other cultures, but to learn from them, to see them as unique and designed by our Creator. Church, the moment a new culture steps into our church, we should be ecstatic because we are entering into a more biblical picture of the body of Christ. Our culture will change as we grow to understand the biblical picture of love, unity, and reconciliation more clearly. This will stand out in our broken world. I also believe that this is another step for us to reach all nations. Because can you imagine that if everyone who joins FAC felt the burden to see lost people transformed by Jesus? Maybe God will call some of us back to our cultures of origin to share the gospel with greater boldness. Maybe some of these places are unreached places. This is how a movement starts, and we were never meant to be stagnant. We were never meant to be silent. I know this because God is not stagnant, and he's already doing amazing things, and I could share all day about these, but I'm going to give you just a snapshot. In North Africa, God is reaching people through miraculous dreams and visions. And one international worker, Rachel, who is a nurse educator at a local hospital, has been involved in discipling a nurse named India, who came to know Jesus through a dream. In that dream, God came so close to her that she could feel his breath on her cheek as he breathed the words Jesus into her ear 4 times. Since then, she has had a deep desire and curiosity to learn who this Jesus is, and she's been able to read the Gospel of Luke alongside with Rachel. After 3 years of the Holy Spirit pursuing India's life, she has made the commitment to follow Jesus and is now our sister in Christ, even though this could cost her her life. I had the honor of hearing other stories from believers in North Africa. And it was amazing to hear how the local church was spreading all over the place, even though it was illegal, even though they could lose their lives. Yet they had this indescribable fervor and passion to press on in the power of the Holy Spirit like I'd never seen before. And I can't explain it. I can't fathom it. But these people are laying down their lives for the cause of Christ. And they live each day without fear because they know that they have Jesus on their side and that he will do greater things through them. God is moving. The work of the Christian and Missionary Alliance around the world is still continuing despite COVID-19. And God is using this time to see lives and communities transformed by the gospel, just like we saw in that video of Buzz and Myrna. And right now, a new family from FAC has answered the call to go internationally to serve Jesus with their lives in Southeast Asia, which is a location that is hostile to the gospel. Please be praying for them and for others to answer the call to go. And you can support them by giving financially and for praying for them. As mentioned before, the Missions Fund supports all of our international workers. And then unfortunately this year, the fund is going down. And year over year, we see less people giving to support the cause of missions. But there are still over 3 billion people in our world who do not know Jesus Christ. We cannot send more people without more resources. And Jesus is calling us to step into this mess and to bring the light into the darkness. God's asking us to join him. Will you support his mission? God is not only working overseas, but he's working right here in Calgary. FAC has the opportunity to sponsor over 70 refugees per year to come to Canada. We focus on sponsoring the most vulnerable people, women and children, widows and orphans. They have lost everything and feel like the world has forgotten them. But through refugee sponsorship, we get a chance to tell them that Jesus has a plan for their lives and he loves them dearly. It does not make sense to them that people all the way in Calgary are sacrificing to bring them to safety when they've never even met them. They don't even speak their language. But we know that with Jesus, this makes sense because Jesus upholds the brokenhearted and he pursues the hopeless and makes them known. FAC, we get to be a part of their healing journey. God is calling us to care for the vulnerable and the broken in our city. And this year, I cannot ask you to go in the same way that we've done in the past. But I can ask you to go and make the commitment with your own everyday lives to make bold steps. Jesus expects nothing less than his followers today. God is inviting you to join him, to take the task of making him known in your sphere of influence. We want to go on a journey together as a community. So we've created a 5-week supergroup experience that will be happening on Thursday nights. If you've decided to follow Jesus and you want to take a closer look at this task of loving our neighbors and making Jesus known, sign up at faccalgary.com. We'll be following the study, The Art of Neighboring, and you'll be paired into discussion groups that are based on your proximity so you can make a commitment together and hold each other accountable to bring Jesus into our neighborhoods. I believe that God has amazing things in store for each of us as we join him to go and reach our cities with the hope and love of Jesus Christ. FAC, do you dare to dream of what would happen if we all took this task seriously? Scripture says that when Peter and John prayed for power, they all received it. If 3,500 people took this task seriously, we would be a beacon of hope in our city. The world desperately needs Jesus. I want us to dream of kingdom dreams, dreams that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish in our lives if we surrender to Him. In John 20:21, it says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Go, be Jesus in the world." Here's a story that I'd like us to look at of a man named Kong who did just that.
I was a violent man, a drunk and evil man. I had no love for anybody. One day, I was working in an empty charcoal oven when the wall caved in on me and my little boy. I heard my wife cry out, "Jesus, help my husband." I felt two hands grip my shoulders, and I realized I was already outside the cave. I choked and coughed out blood. Then my right eye popped out of its socket. Immediately, my wife and a neighbor took me to the nearest hospital. Every doctor in every clinic said that they could not treat this kind of injury. I told my wife, "You must take me to your church. I have no other hope." When we arrived, I asked the pastor to pray for me. As he prayed, I felt something from inside was pulling my eyeball to its place. And when everyone opened their eyes to look at me, I shouted, "I am healed." I was overwhelmed with joy and in awe that God had healed me. After I got out of the hospital, my heart was restless. I could not stay still. I just wanted to go and tell everyone about Jesus. I often walked to distant places. I kept praying to God for clear direction. "God, you have done so much in my life. From now on, whether I live or die, I am devoted to you. Where you send me, I will go." First, I shared in my own village. The people all knew what kind of character I was. After I came back, everyone was amazed by my healing, and they said that I was a different man. Some who saw the changes in me began to put their trust in Jesus. The workload was overwhelming to me. I cried out to God, "I can't do this alone. Please send someone to help."
When we came, it's just like so desperate need. We have not heard any church existing here. It's just like spiritual hunger.
We met Kong on a boat ride. He's a natural networking person. Wherever his relatives live, does the church exist?
All he knew that go and share the gospel. Sometimes he called us like, "I'm here, I'm there, away from home. Talk to this person, that person." They received the Lord already. It's amazing. We told him that there's so many that we cannot catch up with him.
God answered my prayer and sent you. I was so happy. My faith began to grow deeper. You are helping us understand God's ways.
We cover 3 villages a week and do all-day discipleship classes in that each village, including 2 floating villages.
In the last 2 years, we've seen God's planted 12 Alliance church group and about 130 people came to Christ. This is our goal to see by year 2021 that in every village, every tribe, every tongue in Cambodia, we have a church, a place of worship for the people group.
We plant churches because Jesus told us to go and make disciples. But it's in Jesus' heart, He cared for the lost soul. And that's why we're here, follow Him.
I am grateful to God for saving me. And I have committed my whole being to serving Him for the rest of my life. Nothing makes me happier than to see lost people find their way back into God's kingdom.
Our God is a real God, not just a storyteller.
Not just once upon a time
story. Yeah, once upon a time story. This is real, this is true, that He's working in the life of His people.
and he still does miracles every day.